Welcome. It's very good to be together this afternoon as we continue in our Holy Week journey. The open Bible reminds us of the word written, the word of God revealed, but it also powerfully points us to the truth of He who is the Word made flesh, Jesus the Lord, in whose name we gather this Holy Week. And who speaks to us through the word written, but also through each other, through the insights that we each have. I don't come as a great biblical expert. I come as your bishop, but also as your fellow traveller and as your brother. I come to receive from you as much as to offer insights to you. So we'll sit under the authority of Scripture today, prayerfully and carefully, praying the Holy Spirit to open our hearts and our minds. So I'll just keep a moment of stillness. And here also, some of you have seen already, I used it in the row book on Monday, one of my favourite Teze icons, the icon of friendship. Christ holding the scriptures with the arm of friendship around the disciple with whom Jesus journeys. The disciple holding the rolled up scroll, representative of the unfolding story of his life. As yet unknown and untold, but into which the Word made flesh powerfully speaks. Abba Mensa, the disciple, is you and me. Christ, our friend, who speaks the Word of life into the situation of our lives today. This is a Syrian icon from the 6th century. And was a gift to Brother Roger, the founder of Teze, and is still there in the community church today. This is a reminder of the Christ who journeys with us this week, and to whom we come now in our time of prayerful reflection. So let us pray. Jesus Christ, Word made flesh and splendour of the Father, we praise and thank you that you journey with us this Holy Week, leading us to the joy of Easter. Speak to us now as we engage with the Word of life. Set our hearts on fire with love for you. And strengthen us in our service of you for the coming of your kingdom in all its fullness. For you live and you reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, God in glory forever. Amen. There are, of course, many, many different ways of engaging with the scriptures. And this afternoon I'm going to suggest that we use a particular method of studying the scriptures, known and loved for many, many generations, begun by the great St. Benedict, who really had a profound influence on the life of the English church. And when you look to the Book of Common Prayer and to all the Anglican liturgies that have followed, there is a profound influence of St. Benedict right from the beginning. Within Benedict's teaching, there's a deep love for Scripture and a particular way of engaging with it that I find very helpful. And it's called Lectio Divina. And it just means holy reading, slowly chewing over, carefully. And sometimes you might get no further than a word or a sentence. Just enough. And letting that permeate deep within us. the Lord wanting to say today into your life and mine from the passage that we're going to have a look at? Where's the food for this bit of the journey today? And then we'll have an opportunity to reflect and share some of all of that together. So the passage I've chosen is a familiar one and very much takes us to the heart of this week, from John chapter 12, first 11 verses. I'm going to read it quite slowly. And what I want to suggest is that as I'm reading it, you just let the passage speak to you. Don't force it. Don't look for something. Just let the Holy Spirit open for you what you need for today. And the Holy Spirit will. It might be a word that leaps off the page. It might be a sentence. It might be an image. It might be a relationship or something in the passage. But just take it, when you've got that nugget, take it and chew it over. Six days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii? And the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept a common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." When the great crowd of the Jews learned that he was there, they came not only because of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death as well, since it was on account of him that many of the Jews were deserting and were believing in Jesus. We just hold a time of silence as we engage with that passage. There an image, if it helps to look and just to get a sense of how it might have been. So this week, that's a very familiar place. Of course, Bethany for Jesus was a place of security. It was a place of great friendship. It was a place he knew well and to which he often returned. He could go there and he knew he'd be welcome. It would be okay, especially when it was getting tough. It was close enough to be able to go often. At several points in the passage, of course, it reveals the intimacy of friendship with Jesus that's so important. Clearly, an intimate friendship with Mary, but also with Martha and with Lazarus. The closeness of friendship, and again the icon pointing us to just how precious a gift friendship is. How does that live out in our lives today? The call to intimacy with Jesus is as real for you and me as it was for those first disciples. He calls us his friends, and he reminds us that there is no greater love than to lay down your life for your friends, which on Good Friday he will fulfill. We are his friends, and for us he will lay down his life. The intimacy of friendship becomes very, very apparent in this beautiful passage from St. John. But also notice Mary's deep, deep need to express her love for Jesus, to do something so that he'd know how much she loved him. How deep was her care and concern? And we can translate that to our everyday relationships, to our families and our friends. How do we express love? In care and compassion, by acts of kindness and thoughtfulness, in all kinds of ways. And when I read this passage, it challenges me to think about ways in which others express love and care for me, and I for them. Mary has much to teach us. It's not simply a matter of being up here in our relationship with Jesus. It has to affect the whole of who we are. Yes, our thoughts, but also our affections. It's head and heart together. But more as well, because it involves action. She kneels down. She breaks open the flask. She anoints and she wipes with her hair. And so the doing is vitally important. How we express love and care and concern in ways that are life-giving. And we're very familiar, of course, as we work our way through the Gospel Sunday by Sunday, of the ways in which Jesus is a doer. He heals, he feeds, he forgives, he teaches, he welcomes. The list goes on and on. But here Jesus teaches us a powerful and wonderful lesson by receiving. How do we receive? For me, perhaps I'm alone in this, it's so much easier to do and to give than to receive. That leaves me feeling profoundly uncomfortable, if I'm honest. As you know, in some churches there's tradition on Maundy Thursday of foot washing. And when I was a student at Murfield and was asked if I would have my feet washed by the superior of the community, the abbot, I have never been more mortified in my life. One bit of the scripture where it says how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those. I think feet are far from beautiful. But Jesus shows us the importance of receiving in his own life and in ours. He receives those who offer him hospitality. He receives the gift of water at the well from an outside woman, an outsider and a woman, double whammy. He allows Simon of Cyrene, also an outsider, to carry the cross. He receives. And he challenges me, Mark, how will you receive? And how will I? And how will you? So in a sense, I think the starting point from this passage is twofold. What do we need this Holy Week? And what will we receive, as well as what will we give? What do you need, and what do you bring? As I've said in a number of places, it's that Bartimaeus question. Bartimaeus is a good beggar. What do you want me to do for you? Said Jesus. And each of us must answer for ourselves, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus, direct to our hearts. And we must answer. Honestly. One of the great things of Holy Week is it strips away all pretense. It strips away all messing about and takes us to the very heart of everything. Everything that's important we can learn about in Holy Week. It's all there. And so the Lord looks for us to speak to him, I believe, about our situation, our life, just as it is in reality. Our triumphs, our failures, our hopes, our fears, our joys, our sorrows, our brokenness, our grumpiness, our joy, our delight, our stupidity. Here I speak entirely for myself, of course. How is it, really? As we come to these great days, in ancient times, these days from Maundy Thursday to Easter Day are called the Great Triduum, a great 3 days. It's there. Everything is there. How are you as we prepare to go into those days? How are you with the Lord? How are you with yourself? And how are you with others? What do you want me to do for you? Mary desperately wanted Jesus to know how much she loved him. What do you want Jesus to know today? And what do you want to say to him? Let's just hold that for a moment. And listen as he speaks into your heart. What do you want me to do for you? What do you need to show me? Who have you brought to me? Now, I wonder if one of the ladies present might be willing to read the passage for us again. Thank you. And this time, what I want you to do is just look and wait for that phrase, just a word or a couple of words, and then after the passage has been read, we'll go round the circle and we'll just offer each other our word. We don't have to say anything about it or how we're feeling, just the word or a couple of words as we've heard them just now. So again, just a brief moment as we gather our word, our couple of words, whatever.